It's Christmas time. Yes. I hate giving holiday sermons. I hate it. I always feel like if you've been in church for like 20 years, you've heard 20 different Christmas sermons or Thanksgiving sermons or Valentine's Day sermons, or and how many different angles can you hit this thing from? So I thought I would start out by telling you some stuff you may not have heard. You can't really see that. It says, "O come, O come, Emmanuel," a little bit of Christmas history and facts. "O come, O come, Emmanuel" is the earliest hymn that survived, the earliest Christmas hymn that we still have. And it came from like the late Middle Ages, early Renaissance. So we're talking 1400s, 1500s for that hymn. The first American Christmas song was up on the housetop that was composed in 1864. So go USA. A song that is often associated with Christmas, Jingle Bells. Ha! You're all wrong for singing it at Christmas. It's actually a Thanksgiving song. Jingle Bells was composed and sung for the first time in the 1800s to celebrate Thanksgiving. Had nothing to do with Christmas, although we have appropriated it. This, I guess, is truly a Christmas trivia. If you've seen the original Grinch Who Stole Christmas, not either of the movies. Have there been two or three? Two movies, maybe, in the original? Yes. A child is saying two films. Thank you. He's a Grinch expert. Yes. Well, back in the day, there was a Grinch cartoon that got all this. Actually, didn't get it all started. There was a book by Dr. Seuss. Then there was a cartoon, and the guy who voiced the cartoon is actually the same guy who voiced Tony the Tiger. They're great. His name was Thurles Ravencroft. The best-selling single of all time, regardless of genre, is Bing Crosby singing White Christmas. There we go. Sorry. Notes were out of order. I confused myself for a second. There we go. Bing Crosby's song White Christmas was the best-selling single of all time. It was actually also the code to tell the Americans in Vietnam in 1975, when the South Vietnamese government collapsed, to begin the evacuation and head to the American embassy. They played White Christmas on Armed Forces radio, and that was the signal for the Americans to get out of South Vietnam. It was composed by a guy named Irving Berlin, and he was really happy with all the royalty money he got from it, because he did get a lot of royalty money from it, but he hated one version of it, absolutely hated it. Elvis. Don't be dishing on my man Elvis. Yeah, he did not like Elvis's version of White Christmas. The song "Do You Hear What I Hear" was actually composed right after the Cuban Missile Crisis, and so the song's calling to peace among men was a result of us almost blowing ourselves up during the Cold War. Do you guys like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? You like Rudolph? Yes. So, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer actually has no roots in Christian tradition or history. It was started as part of a marketing campaign by the Montgomery Ward Store back in the late 60s. And finally, the song Silver Bells was originally written as Tinkle Bells. They said that didn't quite work well, so they changed it to Silver Bells, which I think was probably a better decision. I said this was last. That's not true. Recent research has uncovered that Hallmark movies are, in fact, communist. So, just, I'm a lawyer, historian, I'm all about the truth. Just thought I would lay that out there for you. Christmas. I want to hit this from a little different angle. And I want to start by telling you a story about one of the bad women in the Bible. And because we have kids in here, I will try to make this G. It's going to be a challenge. I'm not going to read most of it. I will summarize it because it's kind of a long story. Jacob had 12 sons. One of them was named Judah. Judah had several sons. One of them he married to a woman named Tamar. Not long after Tamar married Judah's son, Judah's son died. In that culture, and this kind of weirds us out, but this was their culture. In their culture, family was everything. Keeping a male's descendants, his lineage going, was everything. And because once a woman was married, she was sort of considered damaged goods, and nobody else would want to marry her unless they were part of the family, it was customary for one of the deceased husband's brothers to step in and fill the role of the husband for the widow so she could have children. And the children operated as sort of a social security safety net because they didn't have government programs. So if you're widowed and you get old, you've got nobody to take care of you. But if you've got kids, they'll take care of you. So this is how they did things. So one of Judah's other sons stepped up, and he died. So Tamar said to Judah, hey, I'm still here, and you have other single sons. And Judah's thinking, you're a black widow. I don't want anything to do with you. And so he said, yeah, I'll get back to you on that. I'll have my people call your people, and we'll make this happen. But he never did. Nothing ever happened. And so Tamar languished there, childless and alone inside Judah's clan. Shortly thereafter, Judah was out doing the thing that he did, which was sheep herding. They're moving the flocks. And Judah and one of his companions are out ahead of the herd, scouting probably. And they come across a roadside shrine to a pagan god. And there is a priestess, a veiled priestess of this pagan god. And Judah decided that he would like some female companionship, and she said, sure, we can make that happen. It'll cost you a sheep. And Judah goes, well, I don't seem to have a sheep on me, so I'll tell you what I will do. I will give you my staff, which would have been carved and decorated in such a way that it plainly would signify to anybody who saw it, this belongs to Judah, right? It would be like a signet ring later was. It's something you could stamp in wax, boom. This is like your signature before there was writing. And there was also a seal that probably would have been some sort of a chop or a ring attached to the staff. So Judah said, look, I will give you my staff and my seal, and you can hold these in pledge, and I'll bring you the sheep. And the woman said, okay, it's a deal. So that night, they do their thing. The next morning, when Judah wakes up, she's gone. Sorry, strike that. I'm getting there too soon. The next morning, Judah leaves. Judah comes back with the sheep, and she's gone. She's not there. He's like, ooh, that's kind of awkward. But easy come, easy go. She's a priestess, no big deal. Then this happens. About 3 months later, Judah was told, your daughter-in-law Tamar is guilty of prostitution, and as a result, she is now pregnant. She has shamed the clan, and there can be only one result. He said, bring her out and have her burned to death. This woman was a cool customer. As she was being brought out, she sent a message to her father-in-law, I am pregnant by the man who owns these. See if you recognize whose seal and cord and staff these are. And if this was a Simpson episode and Judah was Simpson, this would be the point where he would go, no! Because they are his. And he is busted. Judah recognized them and said, she is more righteous than I. So she was spared. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. As she was giving birth, one of them put out his hand. So the midwife took a scarlet thread and tied it on his wrist and said, this one came out first, because it's very important to identify who the firstborn is. But when he drew his hand back, his brother came out ahead of him. And she said, this is how you have broken out. And he was named Perez. Perez, it sounds like the Hebrew for broken out. His brother was named Zerah. So, can you imagine what Tamar's life was like in that camp? Not a happy existence, either before or after, really even after this incident. I mean, she had pulled a fast one. She got a kid out, two kids out of this, but boy, everybody must have known what had happened. Small communities, people talk. I know you've never experienced anything like that in a small church community, for example, because nobody ever talks or gossips in church. But in this clan, in Judah's clan, I'm sure everybody knew what had happened. And talk about being a black sheep. Whew. Life is like that. I knew a guy who knew a guy who founded a multi-billion-dollar company. Company's wildly successful. It's the biggest probably in the world at what it does. And my friend was sitting next to the son of the founder of this company at a dinner. The founder of the company had commissioned a book about the history of the company. And so the founder's son was asked, when is the book coming out? And the guy and the son said, oh, it's not coming out. And the guy said, well, what's wrong? Is there something wrong with the book? Is it factually incorrect? Is the history somehow wrong? And the son said, no, the book's good. In fact, the problem is it's too good. Because in the eye of the founder of this company, the company started out down here, and it did this meteoric rise at like a 45-degree angle on a graph, straight up, and just kept going. That's how he thought about the company now that he was an old guy, this kingdom that he had built. And the truth of the matter was, the son said, the company started out down here and grew, but then it dropped. And then it grew some more, and then it dropped pretty steeply. And then it grew. So the general trend was up, but there were plenty of valleys. All of our lives have valleys. And this time of year is an intensifier, it seems to me, right? If your life's going really well, Christmas is a great time. I mean, it's really good. Everything that's good in your life, the family, the job, the bonus, the house is decorated, everything's festive, you got friends, family. If it's going well, it's going really well. If it's not going well, you feel it worse. It cuts more. I'm fine. Really, I'm not fine. Please help me. I'm just tired. Really, I can't take this anymore. I already ate. Thanks. Really, I starved myself. Go away. Show me enough you care to stay. I'm just cold. I don't want you to see the scars where I cut myself. I'm better, really. I've never been this bad. I'm okay. I just want to die. That's my dad. Today, December 8th, is my dad's birthday. He was born in 1912. That's the year the Titanic sank and Leonardo DiCaprio froze to death. My dad had two biological children. I am one of them. I had an older brother named Tony. Tony was the same age, as my mother-in-law. I'm the child of my father's old age. He was 56 when I was born. If you do some math, you can figure out how old I am, but I don't want to talk about that. So 3 years ago in this month, my dad's birthday month, my brother took his own life, overdosed on pills. I read the suicide note. It was kind of scratchy and hard to read. He just couldn't take it anymore. That's what he said. That's what the note said. I didn't know it was, I had no inkling he was thinking about something like that. It's hard to get close, he was hard to get close to. Vietnam, and when he was in Vietnam, he was in Vietnam. He wasn't like manning a desk. He was a combat medic, so he saw things, experienced things. Bad marriage, kids who didn't, it wasn't Norman Rockwell, I'll just put it that way. His life, unlike that company, it had more downs than ups. And Christmas time 3 years ago, he was just done. His name was Tony. Tamar's and the Tonys. That picture could be two things. It could be somebody raising a hand saying, just like we were doing now, God, praise you, thank you for being in my life. Or it could be somebody saying, God, where are you? I feel so alone. I think the answer to that, one of the answers to that, can be found in kind of an unlikely place in the Bible. And that's Matthew 1. The part of the Bible that we usually skip over, the boring part. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This is Jesus' family tree. And remember, in that culture, family is everything. It is an honor-based culture. Somebody who shames the family, you don't want anything to do with, right? Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was the bad girl, the one nobody wanted anything to do with. There's a sense, it seems to me, when we talk about God, I prayed earlier, I think, about God providing things for us. And you think about God with Israel during the Exodus, right? Every day there's manna on the ground for them to eat. There's a pillar of cloud by day so they can walk in the shade. There's a pillar of fire at night to keep them warm. As I look around the room, I see pretty healthy looking, well fed certainly, well dressed people driving pretty nice cars. You've got jobs. Good things are happening here. God does all of that. All of that flows from him. So in a sense, you could say that God is with you. But there's with you, and then there's with you. Do you know what I'm saying? There's with you, and then there's beside you. And I think the reason God inspired Matthew to mention Tamar in here by name is God is saying, when you are at your worst, when you're in a situation where nobody wants to be around you, where you've really, really messed up, and you've put yourself in a position where members of your community are going, ugh, God says, I am with you. This thing just... Art, can you advance me a slide? I think I just lost the battery. I think I also just lost Art. Don't worry about it. I can quote it. Or I can read my notes. Matthew 1, the virgin will conceive and bear and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, do you know? God with us. So, if things are going great in your life, praise God. If everything is the way you want it and it's getting more so, praise God. But if at the beginning of this Christmas season you don't feel quite like that, if you're concerned about a job situation, or you're concerned about your finances, or you're concerned about a relationship, or you're worried, thank you, Bruce. Oh, you guys are great. Bruce is silver control. I think this thing is smarter than I am. I'll try to use it. If you find yourself there, know if this season means anything, it means that God is right there in the muck and the mire and the part of your life that you don't want anybody else to know about, that he's right there with you. Sometimes this world can seem a dark place. It can seem a dark place. I saw these pictures and I thought I would share them with you. Oops. An old guy who doesn't look really very strong himself, pushing his old dog around in his wheelchair. The love between us and our pets is a gift from God. It's a beautiful thing. The meter homie who left a note, you ran out of time. I fixed that issue. The guy who overheard a waitress talking about how she wants to go see her son but can't afford to go and left her a $200 tip. The professor, and if you've ever been around college professors, some of them can be very, very kind of snooty and difficult to deal with. Not law school professors, but college professors. This professor had a student whose kid was started acting up and crying in class, and so rather than asking her to leave, he picked up the baby and held the baby and kept teaching and calmed the kid down. This fast food employee who stopped what he was doing at his McJob and went to help this old man cut up his food so he could eat. It's a young person, a teenager, who we often don't think of doing things like that. There's this old guy who sees this young kid on the subway going to an interview for his first job, but he doesn't know how to tie a tie. So the old man stops and shows the young man, this is how you do it. Now go get the job. And there's this Muslim on a subway who helps this old lady carry her bags. It's a dark world at times. There are a lot of bad things that happen, but thank God there is light. So, I read recently that there's a subatomic particle called a quark. Have you guys heard of quarks? Some of you are nodding. A lot of you probably have heard about this. You're all smarter than I am. I just heard about a quark, right? So, a quark is one of the 120 or so subatomic particles that have been identified. There are probably more than that that we don't know about, but we've identified 120. And there's a theorem called Bell's theorem that states if you take a quark and you split the quark in half and you put one half of the quark in LA and the other half in New York and you reverse the half of the quark, or reverse the rotation of the half of the quark that's in LA, If you stop it and reverse its spin and get it going the other way, guess what happens to the cork in New York? It reverses too. How can that happen? They're a continent apart. We don't know. There's something that connects them. There's something in the way they're designed that even though they're a continent apart, they connect. I have a very real sense that we were designed for a connection with God and with each other that we have lost. And if this season means anything, it's about God beside us, with us, trying to restore that connection with Him and trying to get us to restore that connection with each other the way that we were designed to be. So as you go through the season, as you enter it, if you're in that dark spot, God is with you. If you're not in that dark spot, if you feel like your life is going great, praise God, but be light for somebody else. May that be your experience as you go through this season. Let's pray one more time. Lord, thank you so much for the way that you've designed us, for the way that you've made us. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you together today. Thank you for this place, this church, the community, the individual people who make it up. May this community, may we individually come to reflect you, come to embody who you are, what you are, your love, your compassion, your mercy. You're bringing light into a dark world. May we see this place. May we see ourselves. May we see others as you see them. Thank you. Thank you for everything you've done for us, and we look forward to seeing what you're going to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You'll stand with us. We'll sing a prayer and blessing as we leave today.
May the Lord bless you.
I'm a lawyer. You gotta expect these sorts of things. I said let's pray one last time. I want to pray again. And I want to pray again because an RGF kid, Amy McMullen, got some bad news this week. Amy's 28 years old. She's a contemporary, really like family of Melissa Alvarez and Edwin and Janet. She had ovarian cancer, and they pronounced her cancer-free. But she found out this week that the cancer is back, and it is metastasized. It's spread into a different part of her body. And so I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to ask you guys to join me. She is a bright soul, a luminous soul. So I'm going to ask you guys to join me as we pray for her. Father in heaven, we lift Amy and her family up to you. I can only imagine what they must be feeling. Even though they're believers, I know they're afraid and anxious. I ask that you will give them peace, that you will bathe them in your presence, that you will heal her if that is your will, that you will use your power to circumvent the effects of sin and selfishness on this planet, that you will eradicate the cancer that is ravaging her body. If that is your will, I ask that you'll do that. If you're going to work through the medical doctors, I ask that you'll give them wisdom and bless that process. But whatever happens, we commit her to your will, praying that you'll give her peace and, yes, even joy in this. That you'll reveal yourself to her and her family as you never have before, and that she will see you in all of your glory. That she will feel your love surrounding her, that she will feel your compassion, your mercy, your kindness. And that she and her family will be changed for the good for this thing that the enemy intends to do evil and cause harm. What you do like nobody else does, and we ask in Jesus' name, and because I know that it is your will, I know that you'll do it. Thank you. Thank you. You are so good. You are awesome. Thank you in Jesus' name. And the congregation said, amen. Guys, go with God's blessing. It's been fantastic worshiping with you. We will see you next Sabbath.